Turn with me once again this Sabbath morning to the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 17. We'll read the chapter in its entirety. The Word of God at John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There ends our reading of God's Word this morning. May the Lord bless our reading of the Holy Scripture. The passage that we've read bears on the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 52. Once again, I call your attention this morning to question and answer 127, which is the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sixth petition, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for deliverance from sin. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is Jesus' own prayer on behalf of His disciples. This is Jesus' prayer on behalf of His disciples in John chapter 17. John 17 contains Jesus' high priestly prayer and has as much right to be called the Lord's Prayer as that other much briefer prayer that the Lord has taught us to pray. The Lord Himself is praying here, and He is teaching us how to pray, so that John 17, too, may be called a model prayer. In this prayer, Jesus prays for our deliverance from evil. That's verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We noticed last week that the sixth petition is a prayer for holiness. Deliverance from evil is the negative side of the sixth petition. The positive side of the petition is, deliver us unto holiness. In the fifth petition, we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, which is basically the prayer for justification and the assurance of our justification. Now, in the sixth petition, our prayer is a prayer on behalf of our sanctification, a prayer for holiness. Taken together, the fifth and the sixth petitions are our earnest prayer to God on behalf of our salvation. The two aspects of salvation are justification and sanctification. Justification and sanctification together make up our salvation. So that in the fifth and sixth petitions, taken together, We are praying God for the enjoyment of all the blessings of salvation. All the blessings of salvation that are ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The compendium, which is the briefer form of the Heidelberg Catechism that immediately follows the Heidelberg Catechism in the back of our Psalters. The compendium, in its last question and answer 74, make this plain, that our prayer to God in the Lord's Prayer, and especially in the fifth and sixth petitions, is a prayer to God for salvation. Listen, what do you desire of God in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer? And the answer, one, that all things which tend to the glory of God may be promoted, and whatsoever is repugnant thereto or contrary to His will may be prevented. And two, that He may provide me with all things necessary for the body, that's the fourth petition, and as to my soul, preserve me from all evil which might in any wise be detrimental to my salvation. Last week, we considered the sixth petition itself, both our prayer for holiness and our prayer to God that He deliver us out of temptation. The great threat to holiness is sin, and temptation is the attempt to get us to sin. God delivers us out of temptation, we saw, not by keeping us from ever being tempted, or even by keeping us from ever falling into temptation. Rather, He preserves us even when we fall into temptation. He preserves us by bringing us to repentance, to confession of our sin, and thus delivers us out of temptation and from sin and sin's awful power. This morning, I want to concentrate with you as we return to the sixth petition. I want to concentrate with you on the means by which God is pleased to work holiness in His people, and the means by which He is pleased to answer our prayers and preserve our children and preserve the whole church in holiness of life. Once again, I call your attention to our prayer to Father for holiness. Notice with me three things. First of all, that this is a prayer for ourselves and for our children. Secondly, that it is a prayer on behalf of the church. And thirdly, that it is a prayer most assuredly answered. The sixth petition is first of all a prayer for ourselves and for our children. This is the most important concern that we can have for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren. Holiness. Holiness. Is this the greatest concern that you parents and grandparents in the congregation this morning have for yourself, first of all? Not earthly success, not the ambition for power, for influence, for riches, or for honor, but holiness, your own holiness of life. Can it be seen in you? Seen by your children and seen by your grandchildren and seen by the other members of the church that this is the greatest concern that you have in your life? And is this the greatest concern that you have for your children and for your grandchildren? First of all, that they see holiness in you, but then also that your greatest concern for them is holiness of life. Not their success. Not that they make it in this world in such a way that they bring honor to you, their parents or grandparents, but that they live in the midst of this wicked, idolatrous, licentious age in holiness unto God. Young people, is this the life that you are determined to live in the world? Know that that life is not easy. That life is not a bed of roses. That life is not a life lived like the majority of the human race live. That life is not lived doing what everybody else is doing. It's a hard life. It's a struggle. A constant, exhausting, spiritual struggle. As question and answer 127 makes plain, for it is a constant struggle against mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, enemies that cease not to assault us. Enemies against which we must constantly and strenuously resist so long as we are in this life. Is that your experience? Is that the kind of life you are living at this very moment? Can you say that in honesty before the face of God? And before your own conscience this morning? Is this the struggle that you experienced, that you experienced this past week? If you did, and you do, be assured this morning that you are a Christian. Be sure that your involvement in the battle of faith the life and death struggle against these mortal enemies is itself the assurance to you that you are a Christian. And if this is not your experience, if you know nothing of this spiritual struggle, this warfare that rages within against these mortal enemies, if you know nothing about that struggle against besetting sins, the lusts of your own flesh, a struggle against the world with all of its temptations to sin, if you know nothing of the struggle here, you have no right. You have no right to consider yourself to be a Christian. But what is the means used by God to work and to preserve this holiness in us and in our children? That means, to begin with, is the means of prayer. Prayer. God is a God of means. He is pleased always to use means. That's true of our physical life. God preserves our physical life day by day by means. The means of our eating and of our drinking. The means of food and all kinds of other means in our life. What's true of us naturally is also true spiritually. And one of the means, one of the most important means that God uses for the holiness of His people is prayer. Prayer. This is what Jesus is doing in John 17. He's praying. And His prayer on behalf of His disciples is a prayer for their holiness, their sanctification. Verse 17. Sanctify them, He says in His high priestly prayer to God. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. This is what we must do for ourselves and for our children and for our grandchildren. We must pray. We must pray earnestly. And we must pray often on behalf of their holiness. We must follow the example of the patriarch Job, of whom we read in Job 1, Verse 5, And it was so in the days of their feasting, that is, the feasting of his children, were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Continually. This is what we must do. Godly parents, concerned grandparents, we must pray. And we must pray earnestly for ourselves to be sure, for our children and our grandchildren, that God will sanctify them, that God will keep them from the evil, that God will deliver them out of temptation when they fall into temptation, that God will sanctify them. We must do this. We must do this. Oh, this enters in too in our dating and marrying. Young people, you must date and you must marry someone with whom you can pray. With whom you can pray when, according to His will, God gives you children. You can pray over them together. You must marry someone then who is one with you in the faith. And if you are presently seeing someone, dating them, even casually, which you shouldn't do anyway, you break it off. If you cannot before the face of God say, I can pray with this person. We can pray together for the rest of our lives. We can pray over the children which God may be pleased to give us. If you can't say that, break it off. Break it off now. This praying on behalf of the holiness of our children is something that we must do in their hearing. They must hear us praying to God for their holiness. That God, by His Spirit, will work holiness in their hearts and lives. That God will keep them, preserve them in holiness, keeping them from sin and working repentance over sin in their lives. They must hear these prayers that we make. This is another important reason why fathers in their homes, in leading their families, in family devotions, must pray audibly, must pray out loud in the hearing of their children. And then let the children hear you, fathers, pray on behalf of their holiness. God will use those prayers. He will answer those prayers. Our Christian schools assist us in this regard too. This is another reason why we send our children to the Christian schools. And this is an aspect of the important calling that God gives Christian school teachers to pray with their students. When you do that, teachers, let the children hear, let the young people hear your prayers to God on behalf of their holiness. Even then, We must remember that prayer is only a means, an important means, a necessary means, but for all that, a means. Our prayers, no matter how fervent they may be, how often they may be offered up to God's throne of grace, our prayers themselves can never affect the holiness of our children. We cast ourselves upon our sovereign God, who, if He is not pleased to use the means, they fall to the ground, ineffective. We cast ourselves upon Him, including in our prayers, that God will be pleased to use our prayers as the means in His hand to bring about that which we pray. That's true physically. We pray to God for our daily bread. And we use the means that God gives us, work to earn the money in order to purchase those things necessary for our earthly life. We sit down at the table and we eat and we drink. But if God does not bless that eating and drinking to our body, our eating and drinking is ineffective unless the Lord is pleased to use those means to accomplish His purpose. The means are ineffective. That's also the case spiritually. We pray for their holiness, but at the same time, we recognize our dependence upon the will of God. We cast ourselves upon Him. Our prayers then must be fervent prayers that God will be pleased to use all of the means that are expended on behalf of our children to work holiness in them. Not only is the sixth petition a prayer for ourselves and for our children, but it is also a prayer on behalf of the whole church of God. The sixth petition is intercessory prayer. From that point of view, we do not only pray for ourselves, but we intercede for others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. That accounts for the plural in the Lord's Prayer, the plural personal pronoun. For all time, Jesus did not teach us to pray and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But for all time, Jesus has taught us to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Evil. The us in the sixth petition, as well as throughout the Lord's Prayer, is the church. All our brothers and all our sisters in the church everywhere. We must have a concern for the church We must love the church. That's what the Lord's Prayer teaches us. The church must be dear to our hearts. We must pray for the church. And by praying for the church, we pray for one another. You do that, don't you, people of God? You pray, don't you, earnestly for our own congregation, Faith Church? You pray, don't you, for our denomination, the Protestant Reformed Churches? You pray, don't you, for our sister churches? You pray, don't you, for the whole church of Jesus Christ, the world over, every faithful church of Jesus Christ, and every faithful preacher of the gospel? Our prayers must be that wide. We must intercede on behalf of the whole church of Jesus Christ in the world. And here too, the Lord uses means. Chiefly, the means is His Word and the preaching and teaching of His Word. For the holiness of the church, He uses His Word. That too, Jesus teaches us in His high priestly prayer. That's verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy Word. Thy Word. And again in verses 13 and 14. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I've given them thy word. And then in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For the holiness of His church and for the holiness of every member of the church, God is pleased to use the Word, the preaching, and the teaching of His Word. Apart from the Word, in disdain and contempt for the Word, there is no holiness, and there is no possibility of holiness under the Word. As the Word is publicly preached and taught every Lord's Day, the Holy Spirit works holiness and preserves in holiness. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. For that holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, for that holiness, God is pleased to use His Word. For this reason, We must be faithful in our attendance at the preaching services of the church. Those who despise the church and who forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. There's no work of God in them of holiness. They're swallowed up in sin and in the power of sin. For this reason, God's people must faithfully support the ministry of the Word in their giving. This is the calling that every member of the church has, that the young people have, so soon as they begin to work, to support the cause of the preaching of the gospel, apart from which there is no holiness. We support the ministry of the Word. We pay the budget. We give to the general fund as has been agreed upon at the congregational meeting, in order that the ministry of the gospel may be promoted, and in promoting the ministry of the gospel, our holiness and the holiness of our children may be sustained. Are you interested in the holiness of the church? That's a good desire. A great good desire. Then put yourself and put your family under the means of grace in the church. And God will use the preaching of His Word. And God will use the administration of the sacraments, the Word made visible in order to promote holiness in our lives. Be faithful and diligent in your attendance. Be in church every Sunday, twice every Sunday. God will bless that in your own holiness. And the holiness of your children and grandchildren, God will bless that in the holiness of His church. There can't be holiness in our lives. That's what it comes down to. Apart from the church, and apart from the preaching of the gospel in the church, there can't be any holiness in our own lives personally. Those who disdain the preaching of God's Word are swallowed up, inevitably, are swallowed up in worldliness, in unholiness. Apart from the preaching and teaching of God's Word in the church, there isn't holiness in our marriages. The holiness of godly living as husbands and wives together in marriage. And apart from the preaching and teaching of God's Word, there's no holiness in the church herself. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in those churches that have more and more shrunk the time allotted to the sermon, to the preaching of God's Word in the church. That's what's happened in those churches that have replaced the preaching of the Word of God, at least in the Second worshiped servants. What's happened? Under the judgment of God, those churches have become victimized by the three mortal enemies identified in this last Lord's Day. The floodgates of worldliness and immorality have opened up, and the church has become the world. Preaching and teaching of the Word that God uses for the holiness of His people is the preaching and teaching of the truth. The truth of His Word. The truth must be precious to us. Among other things, the glory of God, first of all, preeminently, but also our own holiness. That's what Jesus teaches in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's also his teaching in verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. That it is the truth that God uses for the holiness of the church has important implications with regard to our church membership. Where am I called to be a member of Christ's church? What church ought I to belong to for God's glory? For the holiness of myself and my children? And the answer is where the truth is preached. The elders have an important calling in this regard. That calling is to supervise the preaching and the minister in the interests of the holiness of the flock entrusted to their care. This is what we pray for in the sixth petition. God hears and God answers the prayers of His people. Specifically, He hears and answers the prayers of His people in the sixth petition. He keeps them from evil and He preserves them in holiness. He hears and answers their prayers as those prayers arise from their hearts and sincerely. If we are not praying this sixth petition sincerely, if instead we are praying it hypocritically and insincerely, then of course we can have no reason to believe that God will hear and answer us. But when we pray this petition from the heart, when we pray it earnestly, fervently, sincerely, God hears and God answers. He answers by working holiness in us and in our children and in the whole church. He answers by increasing that holiness, by preserving us in holiness. He keeps His church in her battle against the three mortal enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, who aim at our death in unholiness of life. He keeps us from those enemies. Even when we fall, even in our deep falls, He preserves us, bringing us always to repentance, restoring us to the right way, and thus delivering us unto holiness. In answer to our prayers, He preserves us all our life long. He preserves His church all through the history of the world until finally, at last, the mortal enemies are put down in the day of the coming of our Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, bless Thy word as we've heard it this morning. Grant our request, humbly made, sincerely, from our hearts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.